92.1 WGHN, Grand Haven's favorite. This is Good Morning Grand Haven. The beauty about radio is that we can do lots of things. We can do long form interviews and tape them and not necessarily air them live. And that allows for longer long form interviews. And those are really, really important in this day and age. And we have an Ottawa County Commissioner in the WGHN studio, Jacob Bonema. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Mary Ellen. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you for the honey. This is your company, Big Bear Honey in Zeeland.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't realize that honey tastes like the ground it comes from.
Yeah,
So we have a lot of people that come up from Chicago and they taste our honey here that's out of
different.
Ottawa County. Absolutely.
I didn't know that.
We have fruit farms. Think about our blueberry farms, our apple orchards. Mm-hmm. A lot of our bees are located inside of those farms, and it absolutely makes our honey in Ottawa County just vibrant, flavorful. It just comes alive. It's way different than what they're used to buying off the shelf.
So, who knew?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of sweetness in Ottawa County.
There's a lot of sweetness. Yeah, we get to hear some of the sourness, but we
it's
absolutely
all right.
have a lot to be proud of in our food manufacturing that comes out of Ottawa
that
County.
That is so cool. That is really, really cool. I didn't realize that, the fields in a wildflowers, the fields in a blueberry farm, honey would taste different. That would make sense.
Well, the honey that comes out of the blueberry farms, which we see a lot of those in Ottawa County, that is a real light, fresh honey.
Okay.
And then I'd say the honey that comes out of our wildflower fields, that's kind of the middle, vibrant. That's the classic flavor of honey. And then buckwheat, when you look at it, it's almost black. It's
really
raw, it's unfiltered, just like the other two. But because the bees are landing on that, it's amazing. It's almost like a molasses.
Who knew?
I know. It's like a wine tasting. You can go and taste all these different flavors of Michigan.
I love it. It's an after-school special learning about honey.
There you go. I brought you some pumpkin spice because it's pumpkin spice creamed honey.
I saw that. Thank you. That was very kind of you. I will put that on some good bread or a croissant.
Oh, yeah. Some apple slices or some sourdough.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you for that. That's nice.
Stir it into your tea. Do you like tea?
I will do that. Yeah, I am a tea person in the evening. We have a lot to talk about, and we're going to talk about some specific things today, okay? Because it's a chance for you to talk about what happened in that meeting. Now, during a regular meeting of the Ottawa County Board of Commissioners on October 28th, officials voted to accept an offer from the Holland Sentinel to dismiss an appeal regarding the closed courtroom testimony. In exchange for that dismissal, commissioners agreed to release closed session minutes from November 6, 2023. That was an eight-hour session. You know that. You were there. The board discussed a settlement recommendation for a lawsuit from Health Officer Adeline Hambly. And then I did see the documents, and I had them in my hand, and I did see them, that there was a $4 million offer on the table. Now,
the judge has ruled was an offer on the table as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. The judge, Jenny McNeil out of Muskegon. Thank you.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So this was a really, really long meeting. There was no audio recording of the meeting. When we get the minutes, we'll be able to read the minutes, but it's an eight-hour meeting.
Yeah, and it was really because of that meeting that we've now started recording the audio of the meetings.
So that you have audio to back up the minutes.
Right. We've never had this problem in Ottawa County before where people emerge from the room and claim that things weren't ever said that were said. And the room's full of people. It's not just commissioners.
Right.
You know, we have clerks in there that are taking minutes. We have security in there. We have attorneys in there. We sometimes have HR and other department heads in there with us. So there's lots of witnesses. So when somebody comes out and says, that was never discussed, that was never said, that's all being made up, it's pretty easily defendable when it actually was.
8 hours is a really long time. Now, I know that, Sarah Leach received the document, the $4 million document, talked with her legal people within Gannett in the Holland Sentinel and went with the story.
Sure.
Okay?
Yep.
She went with the story. Once that story hit that there was a $4 million offer on the table, then there was a lot of backpedaling
from
Ottawa Impact commissioners. So let's start at the beginning. It's an eight-hour meeting. You guys are in session. And when you read, when the minutes come out, Jacob, here's the thing, and we've talked about this off the air, you can't see the body language. You can't hear people sighing.
Right.
You can't hear people slamming down something and saying, so all you're going by is what's written. So this is a chance to take us through that eight-hour meeting and talk about what happened. Let's start at the beginning. The Ottawa County Board of Commissioners, back in 2023, were going to remove Adeline Hambly as the health officer, correct?
Correct.
Okay, go from there.
Well, I think I think it's important, and I appreciate that we get a chance to talk long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get into some of this because, you know,
I don't want to rush you on this at all.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all campaigned during a season where the general public was very upset with what had happened during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And there was a general consensus out there when we were door knocking, campaigning, that people wanted change.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like what they were currently experiencing. They didn't exactly know who they might be voting for to bring that change,
mm-hmm.
you know, other than we represented some change. And so when people went to vote out the existing people, they're also voting in new people.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't even know a lot of these other commissioners, mm-hmm. the ones that won, the other OI affiliated folks, even though I came in endorsed by OI.
Yes.
We weren't even allowed to meet each other, which I didn't, you know, I've never
That's
run.
Interesting.
You know, just to step back for a second.
Yeah.
I was asked to run by Rebecca Curran.
Okay.
So she was considering running, and I think at that point had decided in her mind that she was going to. And she and my wife were good friends.
Okay.
And so she, you know, asked if I would be interested in running. And she said that the commissioner stopped listening to us.
Okay.
That was kind of the phrase. And I said, okay, can you give me some examples of that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to run just to run.
Yeah.
I've got a busy life. I've got a business. I got five kids.
Yeah, you got a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. But I'm big on, the responsibility that elected official has to be a public servant. And if they're not serving the public the way that we've entrusted them to, then maybe there's an issue, maybe there's a reason. And I did have a desire inside to serve at some point in my life.
Really?
Absolutely. I've served on many boards throughout my professional career.
Oh, okay, yeah. That lends itself to,
Both in for-profit capacity and non-profit capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in the Boy Scouts. Public service was always, spotlighted there and celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I always enjoyed that. And I also served the military as a civilian for 7 years.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely. And so I was around that. And the example that the military often, showed me was that you respect the office.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you disagree with a person, you
I've
respect
had many people
the
in
office.
The military tell me this.
Right?
Yes.
Because that's what they represent. And I just see more and more people in office not respecting each other's office,
mm-hmm.
and then of course that bleeds into the community,
right,
where the people don't, respect the office either.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a terrible environment,
mm-hmm.
to be honest with you. So I thought, if I was going to ever serve, I try to be the Ronald Reagan and the Ronald Reagan Tip O'Neill relationship,
okay.
Like work together,
mm-hmm.
right? And so
those two used to go golfing a lot.
Yeah, they might, respectfully disagree with each other and pound it out when it came to policy. But then they go have beers together.
Yeah,
but
right.
They talk.
Yeah.
And I thought early on, it's either representing and serving,
mm-hmm.
well, or it's not. And I'm not going to affiliate it so much with, is this sanctioned by this party or that party? It's either good for my neighbors or it's not.
Okay.
And to me, we're not talking about Washington. We're talking about Main
mm-hmm.
Street,
mm-hmm.
right? So a lot of the things that we deal with is where the rubber truly hits the road.
It's a fact.
For my neighbors.
Yeah.
And you can just look at the Grand Haven Courthouse right now. We're repaving all the parking lots.
Yeah, you saw that.
It's literally, yeah.
Yeah.
We voted on that to make that happen. So, here we actually get to do things that affects our parks, our clean water, our air, mm-hmm. our power grid, all
not
these different things.
Not to mention,
things.
You live in that community.
You're
going grocery
your
shopping,
neighbors.
You're seeing a constituent.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And, when you knock doors, you have a lot of faces and a lot of sounds and
mm-hmm.
a lot of sights and smells and people and,
mm-hmm.
that you realize you represent.
Mm-hmm.
And I knock the doors. So when I agreed to run, it was to run to try to make tomorrow in Zealand better than yesterday. Period. End of story. But
mm-hmm.
before I was willing to commit the my life to it, which is, life, if you break it down, it's your labor,
mm-hmm.
L, I, your influence, F, your finances,
mm-hmm.
and E, your expertise. Before I give all of that
mm-hmm.
to this, I want to make sure that I need to.
Yeah.
So I reached out to my commissioner, which at that time
was
Al Dannenberg.
Okay.
So Al Dannenberg had been there for a long time, wrote him an email, and just said, hey, I've got some concerns. I live in your district. Mm-hmm. I voted for you in the past. Would be interested in sitting down and hearing your side of it, because I wanted to hear the other side. Well, I work in financial services. I have a honey company. I'm used to interacting with people. Mm-hmm. So I always have kind of a 24-hour rule where I just try to get back to people.
I do too.
Yeah. I mean, it feels decent, and it comes to your phone, so it's not inconvenient to answer if you're just waiting at, wherever.
Yep.
So, the first day goes by and nothing. The second day goes by and still no response from my commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Third day goes by, fourth day goes by, and I figure, okay, maybe I emailed the wrong address or something. But then the fifth day it came back, and I'd never actually seen this gentleman in public.
Okay.
I've got five kids in the school district.
Right.
I'm active, but my circles never crossed with his circles.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. And I felt like, so I didn't see him representing me physically, and now he's not even responding to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when he did respond, he responded with, essentially, I don't see the point in it, Al. It just took me aback, just like, you don't have time for a cup of coffee. Well, what about a phone call? What about what is it that you want to talk about? We can do an email exchange, but just cut me off. And I thought, this confirms that, they've stopped what Rebecca Curran had said.
I see.
It's true to me, my commissioner.
Yeah. That was your experience.
Yeah, that was my personal experience. And so then she says, I want to introduce you to somebody that's putting together a movement called Ottawa Impact. Heard of it? And I said, I have not heard of it. Would you be willing to, have dinner at our house, and we'll introduce you to Joe and Susie, and you can hear about what they're working on. So we did that.
Yeah.
We went out to the Curran's house, and her husband, Jeff, made an amazing steak, one of my favorite, and sat and just listened to Joe, who I, that was the first time I ever met Joe.
Okay.
It was the first time I ever heard about it. What had really been going, I wasn't involved in the 1,000 parent march and things that happened.
Yeah.
I was aware of it because my son's football season got canceled, mid-season, like the rest of us. And, felt like that was kind of unfair for different reasons. But that was my general involvement. I worked directly through school administration to address my concerns. I didn't go to my mayor or commissioners or anything until this came up. And so Joe explained his story about what happened at Libertas, and that was news to me.
I wasn't
aware of that, and it wasn't a huge story at that time. But I looked at Joe and I looked at Susie, and they just seemed like they're well-meaning people that were purpose-driven and wanted to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had organized this group called Ottawa Impact, and that they were going to try to represent the community in a way that the current commissioners weren't listening to them to represent them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, it's hard to stand up and do things like this, And so they had my respect that they're willing to actually do something, get up off the couch, get out from behind the keyboard. And so, I think my wife and I both, we talked about the community. We talked about how much we loved Ottawa County, just all the well-meaning. There wasn't any real red flags at that dinner, hey, we're looking for somebody to represent Zeeland. We would come in and support you, which I thought, it is kind of nice to do something new with a team around you.
Oh, for sure.
And at that time they had Senator Roger Victory, supporting them, and Luke Meerman and some others like Brad Slaw. There's a lot of people that were, supporting them, saying, hey, we agree in principle with, we need to address this.
And it's a very highly organized organization.
It is.
It's very highly organized. Yeah. And even back then it was. Yeah.
We'll help you with your website. We'll help you create some door knocker material, all that. So there's a lot to, appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really, as somebody who appreciates taking things seriously and doing things with your best effort, they said, if you are interested, we actually have a due diligence process that we want to put you through.
Okay.
If you're willing to submit to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a panel of parents, of business leaders, and different pastors that you would sit and interview with, and they ask you questions. And if they all agree, then we would then endorse you and then contribute to your campaign to help fray some of the cost of running.
Quite a process.
It was much more. And I thought, these people are serious.
Very.
You know, they are. And again, I didn't really see any red flags with that. Because
sure.
if you are really trying to be organized and do things the right way, these mm-hmm. are things that you would do.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, I'm not going to commit that I'm going to run yet, but mm-hmm. I'm willing to meet these people mm-hmm. and answer their questions. And then I want to talk about it and pray about it with my wife. And because we've been married for 28 years. And I
yeah, you better do that. That's a fact.
Keep it going. And I remember coming back to Rebecca Curran saying, well, you know, I've said no. People have asked me to run for school board and city council for that. And I said, I don't know if I want to do this quite yet
mm-hmm.
because I'm still raising kids.
Yeah. And, I get that.
And
yeah.
She reminded me, she's like, Jacob, your youngest is a senior in high school. You're about to be an empty nester.
He's got one foot out the door.
And I couldn't even think that way yet.
I know. Empty nester. I know.
Yeah. Is that a thing? So I said, you're right. All right. Let's move forward and have mm-hmm. this meeting. So I had the meeting, met everybody. They asked great questions. I thought there wasn't any real red flags there. They called me back probably a week later and said, you know, everybody thinks that you are, you know, somebody that we want to get behind in mm-hmm. Zealand. So if you're willing to run, we want to support you.
Okay.
And so I looked over at my wife and I said, they're in. Are we in? What do you think? I she's like, what do you think? And I said, I have peace about it.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Like I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a way that I've always wanted to give back at this season of my professional career. To be a blessing, to be a point of information, to serve mm-hmm. My community. You know, so I think as commissioners, yes, we provide oversight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently serving as chair of finance. And so, you know, I have an extra level of ability to go in and see how the dollars are being
spent. Yeah, you do.
Right.
Yeah.
And a responsibility.
Right. Yeah.
And a desire. And I've got a background in looking for fraud and looking for things
mm-hmm.
and calling it out when I see it. And if I see it, I will speak out as you
right.
know. So I wanted to give that back,
mm-hmm.
you know, to give people some sense of accountability that there's somebody up there that thinks like them and mm-hmm. cares about the same thing they do. And so, yeah, I wanted to serve. And so I said, yes, and it's great. Well, and so I'm like, well, who else are you endorsing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can't tell you yet. And I thought, well, that's okay. Odd.
So there was a lot of that. Yeah, you didn't really know.
And a lot of promises of we're gonna create social media for you and this
mm-hmm,
and that. And
mm-hmm.
I, you know, I'm not saying there wasn't any help.
Right.
There was a little bit of help.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that, you know, if you go back and you look at the campaign finance disclosures, the vast lion's share of all of the dollars
mm-hmm.
and efforts was first put into Moss and Rody,
right.
and then Meadema, and then it kind of trickled down.
It trickled down
yeah.
to you.
And you'll find me at the very, very bottom of the totem pole there.
Yeah.
So, and when I asked Joe, I said, you know, you're spending this on billboards and stuff. Are you contributing that to me? Because I'll make plans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we don't think you need it, Bonema. We think you've got this, you know, kind of thing.
Ah,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And so that was how it kind of started.
Okay.
And once we got to the point where, you know, we did finally meet each other,
mm-hmm.
you're announced, you know, you're out there and you look around the room and you hear some things. Do you remember Jenny Shepherd Kelly?
Oh, I do.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. She, yes, I do. Yeah.
She was running against Roger Burton.
Yes, in the primary.
Yeah.
I do remember because she did speak with us. Yes, I remember. Mm-hmm.
So we just, you know, kind of sort of met each other, you know, right
yeah.
as we were going into the primary.
Right.
So a lot of people think that we were somehow all family friends or something.
And you were hanging out and you were.
Yeah. No, we literally met right before the election.
I did not know that. So I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah. So we got together after we won the primary.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us did not have general challengers.
Right.
Gretchen Cosby did. But, you know.
Jenny did.
And
yeah.
Jenny
yeah.
did, too.
Yeah.
But most of us were done at that
mm-hmm.
point. Nobody else was challenging us. So now we had time to prepare. Well, I spent that time making appointments with all of our department heads
mm-hmm.
and trying to establish some relationships so that when the swearing-in took place in January,
mm-hmm.
so this is in August, right? So
yeah.
August, September, October, November, December. I've got 5 months to build trust, build a relationship, understand, ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use this wisely. I'm going to use this time to prepare. So I went and met with, you know, everyone from Amanda Price, you know, even the elected leaders above, you know, Brad Slaw, just like through now. What do you see are the incremental changes that we should, you know, focus our time on? How can I use this time well from your perspective? And they were just open arms, very willing to meet, very honest, you know. Even Lisa Stefanoski, mm-hmm. if you remember, she was the health officer mm-hmm. before Adeline Hamblin.
I do remember.
So she was the center of the bullseye for
Impact,
right?
Yeah, she was.
So I reached out to her because at this time, you got to remember, I'm still part of Ottawa Impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, Ms. Stefanoski, I would really like to sit down and, you know, get to know you a little bit and kind of understand, you know, what your perspective has been on these last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you be willing, would you be opposed to meeting, I think is what I said. And right away, she said, absolutely, please come in. Would love to, you know, sit down and get to know you as well. And she made me feel very welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Adeline Hambly actually attended that meeting.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, she just didn't want to meet with me alone because she didn't trust what might come out of it, because a lot of attacks had happened, not from me, but from
the
Ottawa Impact
mm-hmm.
movement. And
mm-hmm.
I was happy to meet Adeline for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually a head of a separate division,
right?
You know, at that time.
Right.
So she was part of our public health mm-hmm. department, but she mm-hmm. was not the director.
No, she was not.
So you know, I got to meet her. And, you know, when I asked Lisa, you know, I said, I'm surprised she answered this, but this tells you a little bit about Lisa.
This is, you asked her questions specifically about COVID and the shutdown,
COVID.
Right? Because,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because that, you know, this is, I'm hearing a lot of the other side. I want to hear her side.
Right.
And she's not out on the radio.
No.
And, you know, like she's.
Right.
She's stuck being a public servant.
Right.
You know, sitting at her computer
mm-hmm.
and having meetings and
mm-hmm.
doing the work, right?
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of talking heads out there saying what she's doing wrong or what she's
right.
that, or what she's done right. So I wanted to know what she thought she had done right.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was a chance to ever redo anything like this again, what she would have done differently.
Okay.
If she's willing to be vulnerable like that. And she instantly was like, oh, absolutely, I would do some things differently. And I think that's such an honest reaction.
It sure is.
We've never been through something like this before.
Wasn't she following state protocol, though?
She's doing her best, yeah. I mean,
wasn't that her job legally to follow state protocol?
That's your job.
Okay.
I mean, when you work for somebody and this is the orders that they put
mm-hmm.
on your desk,
mm-hmm.
she was doing her best. Now,
okay.
Did she realize that, you know, the sheriff's office, the local PD, we're not going to go around and enforce masks and we're not going to, you know, so...
Yeah.
It's a tough situation.
It was.
I think now if we were to all go through that again,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't even try to enforce that because we know how the public would backlash.
Right.
And the police aren't going to.
But we had a lot of unknowns at that time.
Everything was unknown.
We didn't know. I didn't know day to day what I was walking into.
Absolutely. I remember people, I was driving by the front porch of somebody's house, just cruising by their house.
Yeah.
And they had cracked their storm door open and they had these rubber gloves on up to their elbows and they're grabbing their UPS boxes off the you know, like it was such a
we didn't know.
No.
We didn't know what we didn't know, right?
No. Yeah. So you know, one of the things that she shared with me, and I don't want to go into too much because I don't know what she would be comfortable with me sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to respect that because
sure.
she was very honest with me. But she had a indicator in her office that would notify her whenever there was a death attributed to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, when you come to work every day and, you know, this goes off in the middle of a meeting, this
yeah.
goes off, you know, as you're trying to answer an email, and she said she felt the personal responsibility to stop that indicator from going off.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine the mental, I don't want to say torture, but the, you know, like the pain of
anguish.
That's somebody's mother. That's somebody's relative,
yeah.
somebody special.
They weren't just numbers, Jacob.
No, those are real people.
Yeah.
And they're people from here. You know,
yeah.
I lost people right in our neighborhood.
Did you?
Yeah. And it's like, wow, they're gone. You know, they're gone.
Yeah.
Right in downtown Zealand. So,
jeez.
You know, it was real. People were really dying.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
We didn't understand what was going on. A lot of us had theories.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a difficult time. And so she said she would probably have turned that off because that kind of builds that That feeling that you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
Right? That anxiety of this keeps ringing because I'm not doing it.
Right. She took it on as a personal responsibility.
Yeah,
I get
and,
that.
And I can see how that would affect your decision-making capabilities when you're constantly being reminded of this.
Right.
And then on top of that, she said we would have tried to implement some sort of communication where it included maybe a board of people from both sides of the aisle.
Okay.
So that information could travel through that into the community where there is a trusted person from mm-hmm. both sides that could explain it to their group of this is where we're at. We'd like to see it here. It's not there yet. This is what we're trying to accomplish versus, you know, it's us versus them, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. So I thought those were very reasonable mm-hmm. Desires. And so when I came back to, and she also told me that she was retiring.
Right.
When I came back to the Ottawa Impact Board mm-hmm. Group that we weren't sworn in yet.
But, you hadn't been sworn in yet.
But there was a meeting in November.
Okay.
Right before the January swearing
yep,
in or the
that
Christmas
would make
holiday.
Sense. Yeah.
Where Joe just wanted us to, Joe Moss was wanting us all to get together mm-hmm. and sit and talk about what do we want to accomplish as commissioners over the next 2 years.
That's fair.
And to celebrate a little bit.
You That's know, that fair.
We survived the campaign season and here we go. And of course, Gretchen was still in the thick of it. How can we support her? That type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to Joe and I said, hey, I noticed on the invitation you did not invite Kyle Terpstra.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle had been nothing but supportive and really had been helpful to Joe to introduce him to some of the tools needed to campaign mm-hmm. and the people that would write checks to help. And this is just for the Ottawa Impact Commissioners. We'll invite Kyle to the next one.
Okay.
I thought that's unfortunate. You know,
yeah.
I think, you know, we're either team or we're not. And we're like-minded or we're not.
Right.
I thought that was an unnecessary hit on mm-hmm. him. And Kyle's a great guy, young dad. And, mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, so I felt we should honor him as he'd been serving. He mm-hmm. brought a different perspective to the conversation. If we're wanting to accomplish some things, he's actually been on the board and could help guide that conversation of some of the departments we should be
right.
talking to and how to work through the administrator. And so I met with Lisa Stepnoski and Adeline Hambly, mm-hmm. and I thought they're very honest.
Did anybody else meet with them? That you know of?
Not that you know.
But
I believe Rebecca Curran did
okay.
later.
Okay.
I would get back into the group chat and say, hey guys, I just met with these folks and, you know, I really benefited from learning this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage you to not trust what I'm telling you, but to go meet with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing with John Shea, who
right.
was our administrator. I
right.
went and sat down with John and I said, you know, he was kind of on edge a little bit, of
mm-hmm.
course, because he felt like his job was coming to an
end. I would be too.
Right?
Yeah.
And he wanted to know, you know, do you plan to remove me, you know, type of thing.
Wow.
And I said, John, I just want to know how you see all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you see going on and what do you agree with, not agree with? Help me understand what your life has been like the last 2 years.
Because mm-hmm.
there's been times that I completely thought John was doing an amazing job, and there's been a couple times where, from my perspective,
mm-hmm.
the cheap seats at that time, right,
mm-hmm.
that I thought I probably would have done something differently, right? And he said, Mr. Bonema, what I would tell you is that my job is to help guide the will of the commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
So we set the vision as commissioners, and then the administrator helps us implement it.
Okay.
You know, keep everything on the rails. He says, that's what I've been doing for the current board, and that's what my commitment will be for you as well, for
mm-hmm.
the new board coming in, new majority, if you'll give me a chance. And I said, that's very fair.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let me just say that if you feel that you're being asked to do things that you just cannot get behind, would you let us know? So that, you know, what I would like to do in that scenario is to provide an even transition point for you,
mm-hmm.
that you help us find your replacement, you help us transition smoothly to someone else if you don't feel like you can carry out
right.
The mission and vision that the new board majority wants to accomplish.
Right.
He said, absolutely, be glad to make that commitment to you. So I carried that back and I said, you know, John Shea has the respect of the building. He has the experience
mm-hmm.
of how to get things done,
mm-hmm.
and he can guide us that if we do want to accomplish some things, he can guide us how to get that done faster over the next 2 years versus spinning our wheels trying to figure it out.
Right.
Or trying to hire a new guy.
So it sounds like you were doing a lot of proactive stuff.
Yeah, that's what my few months were like.
Yeah, you were.
So So all of this is coming together, and then I find out from the clerk, Justin Roebuck, that we're about to be sworn in on.
Okay.
Was it January 2 or January 3?
I don't remember.
The infamous day, right? And I looked at my calendar and I said, hey, I'm supposed to be on vacation with my sons. I've got two college-age sons that they play football at Western Michigan, and they've only got this tiny window to enjoy the holidays with their family. I'm supposed to be out of the country with them. And I said, Justin, do I need to come home early to be here for the swearing-in? He says, from my perspective, this happens a lot.
Yeah.
This is just an organizational meeting.
Uh-huh.
This is something where we show you where the bathrooms are and, you know, swear you in, have some coffee and cake.
Yeah.
And celebrate,
mm-hmm.
take some pictures. You know, we can get all that done with you, get you sworn in before you leave.
Okay.
And I said, well, let me go talk with a couple of the other folks and see what they say. I talked to Joe Moss about it. He's like, oh, yeah, no, Justin's right. You know, it's just going to be a fun day to high five.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you want to get sworn in early, you know, I'll attend it. I said, yeah, I want to get sworn in at the Zeeland City Hall.
There you go.
And so I had Judge Krause administrate the oath. And, you know, Moss was there and several other OIs and, you know, Brad Slaw and Nancy DeBoer. And they all came to support me getting sworn in December instead of January. So
right.
Now I'm enjoying some family time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden my phone just starts ringing and ringing and ringing. Because I'm not even thinking about watching this meeting because it's a swearing in, right?
And you're on vacation.
Yeah, I'm on vacation.
With your
I'm
boys.
Literally sitting in a comfortable chair on the beach watching my college football player boys wrestle each other in the shore break.
And phone starts blowing up.
And the text on there are things like, wow, heads are rolling.
What are you supposed to do with a text like
right.
that?
And I'm like, what is going on?
Oh,
what do you mean heads are rolling?